You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, and welcome to Giving Up the Ghost Cast with me, Shannon Kyle.
And me, Tina Lyons.
Tina and I are two real-life, multiple best-selling ghostwriters who would like to lift the veil on the publishing industry's best-kept secret, the world of ghostwriting.
Well, you probably never heard of us. There's a very good chance you've read our words.
So who are ghostwriters? How does ghostwriting work? And how do most bestsellers get written?
I'm so glad you are, Shannon. Let's listen to Giving Up the Ghost Cast to find out.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Giving Up the Ghost Cast. Tina Lyons and I are recording this from my house in North London. Hello, Tina.
Hello, Shannon.
So here we are, two ghostwriters. What the hell are we doing, Tina?
I have absolutely no idea. Those of us that don't know very much about ghostwriting, ghostwriters are mostly naturally introverted. We do this because we quite like being at home in our garrets or whatever home office we have, typing away, occasionally going out to interview, but we do rather like being at home. So what on earth we're doing here? I have no idea.
So this is the very first time that both of us have publicly talked about ghostwriting. We sat down together and we thought, is this something we could do as ghostwriters? Talk about ghostwriting, bring it into the public domain and get the stories out there.
I don't know about you, but looking over the last sort of 6 to 12 months, ghostwriting is really in the news. Obviously, most commonly we know with Spare, Prince Harry's book. But pretty much everywhere you look, people are talking about ghostwriting. A couple of weeks ago, or a little while ago, I was reading about Britney Spears' book. And literally, I think in the second paragraph, it went straight into, it is written by Sam Lansky. That names the ghostwriter. It's totally acceptable that it's ghostwriter. But it's very interesting. What do you feel? Because I think in America, ghostwriting's much more part of the sort of usual parlance, but in the UK we're a little bit behind, a little bit more reticent to speak about it. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly that. I've been listening to the As Told podcast series with Daniel Razor. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating from a ghost point of view to hear other ghosts talking about ghostwriting and obviously bring it into the public domain like that. But the Americans just seem so much more relaxed and happy. They call themselves collaborators. They quite often get on the front of the book. Perhaps it's a bit of a British thing to be a little bit more reticent and not to blow your own trumpet. I think there might be a little bit of that going on.
I think what a lot of readers don't realise, in non-fiction in particular, I mean, I've seen various figures, but we're talking about 75 to 90% of books are written in collaboration with a ghostwriter.
Wow.
So there's a lot of us out there. So this is the time that we should come out of those shadows.
It is. And we're doing this in quite a seismic way because last week we also set up the Ghostwriters Agency. And today it's on the front page of the bookseller, or it is on the front page of their website. We need to get a hard copy. Yeah, so just to explain to listeners what we've done, again, this is another conversation over a drink or two. We thought, well, actually, there are lots of agencies out there and they might have one or two ghosts on their books. But is there an agency that is a home to the best-selling ghostwriters and brings everyone together and is a platform to make it much easier for wannabe authors to find ghosts?
Absolutely.
There is that gap in the market. As we have discovered, because within hours of our website going live, which is www.theghostwritersagency.com, 11 ghostwriters signed up.
Yeah, and there's been a steady stream of ghosts signing up ever since. I think also there's a point about being a voice for ghostwriting. A lot has been said about it and there's great mystery, and it's really nice to be able to actually talk in more depth and explain what it is we do, these mysterious dark arts, these people that help authors tell their story, will show how it's done.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the publishing industry, there's a bit of a veil over it. I mean, lots of people don't understand how it works. They don't understand how to get a book deal. They don't understand how much book deals are worth. There's a lot of myths out there. For example, we get asked a lot, can you ghostwrite my book and you can get some of the royalties? I mean, that sounds like a good deal for a lot of people, but actually the reality is it isn't. And it's some of those issues we're going to address in this podcast. That's right. We're really going to lift the veil a bit so people can really understand it and also make it more likely for them to succeed. Because if you do want to write a book and you're serious about it, you need to know some of the tools of how to do it. And hiring a professional, just like you would have a professional decorator to decorate your living room or a mechanic to fix your car, when it comes to writing a book, it's far more likely to be a success if you get a ghost on board.
There's another side to it as well for people who are aspiring to a writing career. I mean, you and I are both ex-journalists. It's really hard to say that. I feel there's still a journalist in me if I'm a current journalist as well. But there's very little money to be made as a freelance journalist these days. There's less and less jobs in mainstream newspapers and magazines. And on the author side, if you're going to pen a book, it's a fantastic thing to do, but you're not going to make much of a living unless you're J.K. Rowling or a small handful of people. So in the middle of that are ghostwriters who can make a decent living out of writing, doing what they love, writing every day. And also, what I love, a very notorious short attention span of any journalist, is you get to know a client so well over sort of 3 to 4 months, you become an absolute expert in whatever you're writing about, and then you forget about it. There's so many books I look on my shelves thinking, God, I used to know about that, and now I know nothing. But it's such a fascinating career.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the average wage for an author, for a fiction author, is something like £7,500 a year, which is completely unsustainable. And, you know, it's not
minimum
livable
wage.
But for ghosting, there are huge opportunities, and it can add to the longevity of a writer's career. You know, perhaps they could start in fiction and, you know, moving to ghosting, even ghosting fiction for people. That is a job in itself as well. So, you know, this is a way of just kind of explaining how it all works and really uncovering the secrets. Because there is no need for it to be secret, actually. So despite the fact we're both really out of our comfort zones, I feel like...
We haven't stopped talking.
And I feel like I'm not just putting my head over the parapet, I'm putting my whole body and I'm jumping. But here we go, and we'll see where it takes us.
Let's talk a bit about our own careers. So I'm going to ask you to tell me about a job where you suddenly thought, did that really happen? Because oddly enough, this happens a lot in ghostwriting. You come away from a job and just think, I can't believe that this has just happened.
Well, I mean, it's working with human beings, isn't it? I mean, writing a book can be quite a stressful, emotional time. And I think that a lot of people don't quite understand the undertaking of it at times. And it's our job to be there and to kind of turn up almost as the blank page and to be the listener, to be the connector with the person. But often these people are very busy people, as I discovered when I tried to ghostwrite the story for a billionaire who was so busy jetting around the world, 4 countries, sometimes 3 continents on the same sort of 24 hours. And he really didn't understand the time that it takes to, you need to give the time to write a book. On average, I find it takes about 30 hours of interview time before, you know, you really get what you need. And he just didn't have it. So I found myself trailing around, sometimes on his private jet, sometimes in a taxi. I found myself at one point interviewing him in a taxi going backwards because I was on one of those back seats. So I was travelling backwards, making notes as he was on his way to his private jet. And just these extraordinary situations of kind of waiting around, you know, remember me, I'm your ghostwriter. We've got a contract.
Please
just give me an hour. Yeah, that was a pretty heavy one. How about you, Tina?
Well, funny enough, that makes me think about my very first ghosting experience. So I was invited by Alan Layton, ex-boss of Asda and the Royal Mail, to write his book, which was called On Leadership. And basically the idea of this book was that he-I would interview business leaders around the world. So he lined up an incredible lot of business leaders. I had Rupert Murdoch, James Dyson, a smattering of Harvard professors, Michael Heseltine, Lord Michael Heseltine, Sir Terry Leahy, that long, long list. What I didn't know until I signed up is that Alan had promised each one of these amazing icons of business and politics that I only wanted 20 minutes of their time.
Wow.
So I literally had to turn up, shaking in my boots in some cases, sit down, cut all the small talk, straight into an interview. What do they think about leadership? My questions, 20 minutes flat. And I sort of questioned this sort of halfway through because it was exhausting. I was also flying across the world to do this as well.
Wow.
And Alan said to me, well, if you can't say anything in the first 20 minutes, it's not worth saying.
That is a good point, to be fair. I mean, you know, maybe from your side of things, to even get the questions out would be
absolutely
a bit of a mission. But
absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, that was quite harrowing, to say the least.
I mean, I think that there is something about being a ghostwriter that you have to be the appendage. You have to kind of like, you just jump straight in. You're a part of someone's life. Whatever they're doing, you're going to be doing. And you need that. You need to be able to watch them, observe them. The idea is that you're capturing their voice for the page. So that includes their cadence, the way they move, the way they speak, the things they might say. Because ultimately, you might be not putting words into their mouth, but when you're writing the book, you might be writing something in a beautiful way that they might not have said exactly, because no sentences come out as you would speak in a book.
But it takes more than 20 minutes to find
exactly
that cadence.
Exactly that. Did you manage to do it?
I did.
Wow.
It was an extraordinary. I think I interviewed nearly 80 people, and by the time I transcribed it, I had more than 500,000 words. And this was my first ghosting book as well, and I had to crunch it down into 80,000. And it was fantastic. It went really well. It was a bestseller, but my goodness, what a
baptism of fire.
Baptism of fire. That's exactly the words I was looking for.
Just to give a bit about my background, I have written over 20 books. I think it might be 26 now. Is it sound really bad to have lost count, but I think I might have done. They've included multiple Sunday Times top 10 bestsellers, and I've had one number one bestseller, which was Jay Goody's book Forever in My Heart, which was her last memoir. Another book that I did reach number two in the Irish charts and was shortlisted for the Sports Book of the Year in Ireland. I have done a few celebrities. Jay Goody is probably the only one that I can mention, but I've also written many memoirs for ordinary people with extraordinary stories, including a coal miner's wife, a desperate housewife, the first ever Lady Chelsea pensioner, a survivor of the Telford sex trafficking ring, a Romany gypsy woman, an arms dealer, a Harley Street therapist, a whistleblower to the Lance Armstrong's doping scandal. And I also don't want to forget the story of the world's first pug cafe, which was written from a pug dog's perspective. I've also ghosted for numerous business people, including the billionaire who will remain nameless, and also been involved in quite a few self-help books. How about you, Tina?
Gosh, that's quite a wide variety. So my background was as a business journalist, which is how I got into ghosting with Alan Leighton, who I mentioned just now. And so I continued along the business path. My second book was with Deborah Meaden from the Dragon's Den fame. So I've written, and I can't believe it, I've been doing it for a long time now, 80 books. I'd probably say about 70% of them are in the business arena. One book that did extraordinarily well was a book that I wrote in collaboration with Anne Bowden, who founded Starling Bank, and that was named the Times Business Book of 2020, which was very exciting. I have tried other books, other genres. So I've written a few fiction books, oddly, done sort of sex and shopping, a few books, which were fun. I quite want to talk about what I'm writing now, but I have signed so many NDAs. I think it would
not
be.
And they scare the life out of you. Like, once you've signed that NDA, it's kind of like, that's it. I've signed my life away.
Yeah.
However drunk I get, whoever like is trying to get it out of me, I cannot tell anyone.
I know. When people like friends, really good friends ask you, and I say, they look a little bit offended.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not telling them. It's like, I literally can't tell you. So I've even written a book for somebody who I've never met, who's actually dead 4 years before I wrote his book. He's incredible, really inspiring, rags to riches story of a person called Kirit Patel, who pretty much came to this country with very little and grew a massive chain of pharmacies called Day Lewis. And his relatives came to me and said he always wanted to write his story, but he died very suddenly, very unexpectedly, and very young. He's got this sort of shoebox full of notes, and you can speak to anyone you like, all his business partners, his family, his friends. And I did. I started building up a picture and I genuinely felt like I knew him at the end.
That's incredible.
Because I had all his notes and then I spoke to all these people and it was like a giant jigsaw puzzle because you know what it's like? People all have different views about when they know somebody or what, you know, and they'll tell stories in the same place, but from a different direction. And actually, it was really was like doing a puzzle, very tiring. But at the end of the day, I really felt like I knew him and I was really proud of it.
That is amazing.
And I think I did him proud as well, which was really important to me.
Continuing on about the theme of America, do you think there's a cultural difference in terms of how Americans talk about ghosting and talk about their successes?
Yeah.
You know, we are a little bit more reserved, I think. There is the idea that we don't really like blowing our own trumpets as much.
I wonder if that's, yes, is it blowing a trumpet? There's definitely a trend that people in the UK don't talk about the fact they're being ghosted. I mean, I have my favourite game is looking at a book and looking in the acknowledgement section.
Yes.
Because there are so many euphemisms for being ghosted. My favourite one for my own euphemisms was somebody said that Tina Lyons, who helped me type my memoirs.
Oh.
I had a sort of money penny vision of me sitting there with sort of horn and spectacles typing it. But actually, you can tell in acknowledgements who's ghosted what.
Exactly.
But generally, it's not spoken about. But if you go to America and you listen to podcasts, yes, you know, my author was X. And I mentioned earlier that Britney Spears, ghostwriter Sam Lansky, Prince Harry's book spoke very publicly about his ghostwriter. Why don't we do that? I'm really not sure.
I don't know either. I'm wondering whether it's because the publishing industry doesn't encourage it. I think there's a lack of cohesion with ghostwriters. A lot of ghostwriters don't really know each other,
yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why we set up the Ghostwriters Agency.
Mm.
So we can bring a supportive network of ghosts together. And I think that culturally there is that sort of idea that you kind of know your place in a way. And I think
yes.
that as a ghost, you've got your contract, you fulfill your contract, and then you step away. And even though that is the case, you can have complete respect that it's not your baby, that it's not your story to tell. It still is an art form and it still is a big part of the publishing industry. In fact, without ghostwriters, huge numbers of books would never come to the market. Definitely, we're putting ourselves out there in a way that, like we keep saying, is a little bit uncomfortable, but I think why not? The time yeah. has come. We've seen what's happening across the pond, taking ownership of ghosting and letting the public know. And I think a lot of people don't mind. They don't mind the fact that a book's been ghosted. It doesn't detract from the story. The story is still there to tell. I mean, look what's happened with Harry's spare. He's ghostwriter J.R. Is it Moeninger? I can never quite
I say. Can't pronounce it either.
We've both been avoiding pronouncing
yes.
it.
Sorry.
He's perfectly happy for that to be public knowledge. And it's still got to number one and it has not detracted from any of the stories.
It's interesting what you're saying that most authors are usually happy to give credit. I mean, even the ones I've found a lot of times, you get invited to the book launch and there's this big event and you've signed your life away in blood saying you'll never mention it. So everyone always comes up to you and goes, so how do you know named author? And you go, you say something really vague and they sort of wander off thinking you're a bit odd. And then I've had this happen on three or four occasions where the author then gets up on the podium and says, this is my book, I'm so proud, this is all wonderful. And thank you so much to Tina Lyons, who's over there in the corner for all your help with ghostwriting it. And everyone sort of turns to me and all these people I've lied to saying very vaguely, like the most awful human being. And it's really the worst experience ever. But there is a number of times that they've had a sort of change of heart at the book launch, which I'm not sure if I'm glad about or not. I think possibly not would be the balance. So it's not just going to be us in this series. We're lining up some really exciting ghosts who are at the top of their ghostwriting game. I know we've got a very exciting ghost lined up for next week, Shannon. I'm going to let you reveal it.
Yeah, we really have. We have Andrew Crofts, who is very much known as the Don of the ghostwriting world, the king of the ghostwriters. He gave us a fascinating interview. We've also got other editors, ghostwriters from different genres. We'll also be speaking to other industry insiders as well. And also we're going to to be chatting to people that we've actually ghosted for as well. So, they can tell us from the other side of the fence what it's like to have your book told by somebody else, essentially. We really try to kind of dig deep and look at all of the different themes around ghostwriting, including the emotional toll it takes as well, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings telling our stories, trying to find that empathy and trying to share something that's going to resonate. And in order to do that, we're going to be looking at the psychological impact.
Yeah, you don't just easily walk away from some of these things. I dream about it often.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
It does impact me.
I mean, when you think about a therapist turns the clock off after an hour, whereas a ghostwriter, that is probably the closest you're going to get to going inside somebody's head. You know, you've got to spend your time with them, you've got to pick up how they speak, you've got to think how they think. You can't do this job half-heartedly.
No, you can't. You need to encourage them to tell you everything,
exactly,
possibly even further than they would normally have told anybody,
even their family and friends in certain cases. Yeah. So just from the psychological point of view, hopefully it really will be a fascinating listen.
Every week, we're going to be doing a feature called Digging Up the Ghost Past. We're going to select a ghost-written book from history to lift the lid on and tell you a little bit more what's behind it. And there's a lot to choose from. So let's go with our first feature, Digging Up the Ghost Past. Over to you, Shannon. What are you going to tell us about?
Well, today I've chosen The Art of the Deal by Tony Schwartz. And of course, a lot of people will have heard of this book. It's what built President Trump's reputation as a businessman, essentially. It was a part memoir, a part business book. And the ghostwriter, he made $1.6 million in royalties. Now, what's fascinating about this book is that after its enormous success that helped build Trump's reputation to become the man that he became, when he became president, Schwartz has just not shut up. He's basically just keeps talking out, and he keeps saying, no, that isn't what Trump meant, or no, he wouldn't have said that, or, and there's this sense of regret. So what are your thoughts on this, Tina?
I'm going to say I'm deeply uncomfortable about Tony Schwartz, and every time he pops up on TV or anywhere, my toes curl, because the ghost shouldn't be the story. It's not up to him to interpret what Donald Trump might think now, in the past, or in the future. They had a transactional relationship where he wrote his book. He subsequently said he regretted writing the book and it should be in the made-up fictional section of the bookshop. That is maybe, but ultimately, as you said, he's been paid a great deal of money for it, but he's not been paid to be Donald Trump. And yet there he is. He's popping up on one talk show after the next. I genuinely feel that once our job is done and the book is published, we step away quietly back into the shadows.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that, but just the counter argument could be that Trump is such a divisive figure. And at the end of the day, like, arguably he's caused so much harm to American politics that perhaps there is a sense of moral obligation for the ghostwriter that helped made him to speak out and just say, well, actually, this is like an ongoing penance. I don't think he would have meant that, guys. Or no, like, you know, I'm going to lift the veil now. And I mean, it's too late, mate, but
it is too late. But is he qualified to say it? I mean, I know there's pundits aplenty on American TV. Is Tony Schwartz, who is basically a jobbing writer, no disrespect, a very successful jobbing writer, is he qualified to comment on what Trump did or didn't mean, or what the implications of Trump says does or doesn't mean? He's not even a politician, a fellow politician, or a political commentator, a psychologist, psychiatrist, all the rest of those ists. He's just not that person.
Well, I mean, he presumably spent a lot of time with Trump and got to know him pretty well, and maybe it is a case of like, well, I've built him up, so I better tear him down before he tears the whole place down. I mean, something like that. I don't know. I mean, it is a really fascinating one. And obviously, it is really uncomfortable for a lot of ghosts. You know, our reputations are built on trust.
Yes.
And discretion. And people have to believe that they can trust you. And, yes. And obviously, he hasn't written another book since. So, and maybe with that much money in the bank, he doesn't need to. Who knows? But, and obviously, he will be getting paid. You know, it's like, you know, you have this one experience and you're just dining out on it for the rest of your career.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are
like, there's an undercurrent of jealousy.
Yeah, exactly.
Perhaps that's what it is. No, I think you're right. But I think there is a big element of trust there, which and we do need our authors to be able to speak fully and frankly to us and believe that if they don't want it to go into the book, then it shouldn't go into the book. Mm. I mean, that was one of the things about Spare that was quite risible, I found, that some of the passages which he made the author, Prince Harry, later wanted to backtrack from. There was some discussion that both he and the publisher wanted to back away from it, but the ghostwriter insisted. I thought that was it.
Oh, yes, blame the ghost. Yeah, but like,
if the publisher or author doesn't want it to go in, then it doesn't. I've argued strongly that some passages are very important for a story, but been overruled 100% of the time.
I mean, ultimately, it is the author's book. I mean, the ghost only has so much say over this. It's not our book. You know, we don't have that amount of license. And I can't imagine anyone telling Prince Harry, you are definitely having this in, you know, that's it. I think, it's a really fascinating one. And the behind the scenes of Spare, I mean, it's a brilliant book and he really does get under the cover of it. But I actually downloaded it onto Audible because I couldn't believe the level of detail that he was going in, talking about, you know, putting the 12-hour cream on certain parts of his anatomy, you know, thinking of his mother. And I just, I had to hear the words from his own mouth, you know, when I was actually listening to this book. I need Prince Harry to tell me that he said these words, because otherwise, just reading them, it's just not enough. I mean, who knows what the narrative is? I mean, the PR machine, incredible job. I mean, it's the top of the charts on both sides of the Atlantic for many weeks, and it couldn't have done any better.
That's all for today. Thanks so much for listening to the first episode of Giving Up the Ghost Cast.
Yes, we're so excited about this series and we can't wait to share the amazing guests with you. So please join us next time and tell your friends. So goodbye for now.
Bye. Giving Up the Ghost Cast is produced by Amanda Redman and brought to you by the Ghostwriters Agency.
Thanks so much for joining us. Please remember to rate and review us on your listening app. It helps us to get noticed in the noisy world of podcasts.
Yes, it does. And if you want to get in touch, you can do so by going to theghostwritersagency.com
or following us on Twitter at GW Agency Ghosts.
See you next time. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.